You're listening to the Whole Hog Sports Podcast. And now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Hey, welcome in. Arkansas split a midweek series with Arkansas State. And before we go too far into this, Bubba, like Arkansas State, I just want to give them a lot of credit because like that program is night and day difference, I feel like, from the old Arkansas State teams that we used to see come in there. They're the second year under Mike Silva, and he's totally transformed them. They don't look like what Arkansas State used to look like. They got SEC caliber hitters. Mm-hmm. I think they got better pitchers. Like the people who kind of know the sport, I've heard from the people who've said, watch for this guy for bigger jobs somewhere down the road. Like if you can win at Arkansas State in the Sun Belt, which is a good baseball conference, you're going to really get yourself noticed. I think people are noticing where Arkansas State was and where they are now. I'm not saying they're going to win the Sun Belt this year, go to the NCAA tournament or anything like that. I wouldn't be surprised if they did based on, you know, just the talent I think they have. But that's a tough league, and they don't get a ton of bids to the NCAA tournament every year. But just in terms of where they were 2 years ago when they came in here and they got run ruled 13-0, and you know the years before that when they came in and they weren't very competitive, I mean, they look like a totally different program. So, you know, hats off to Coach Silva and his staff and what they've been able to accomplish there.
Yeah, you can tell a lot. When a team comes in, the first thing I do is look at the roster. You know, I just scroll down. I want to know who they've got, you know, where they came from and all that. I noticed that there were multiple SEC guys that had transferred into Arkansas State. Never used to see that. They got from Miami, Florida, transfer in. Ohio State also had a transfer from Ohio State. You know, Mississippi State, OU. I mean, just guys from all over. And you used to not see that. But I know that they upgraded the field. They got some money and they upgraded the field. And they've spent some money on the facility, making it nicer. So, and I think they're just going after a different type of player. And for what I do, you know, when it comes to the youth baseball side and the showcase side, I always try to keep up with, okay, what kind of players are they recruiting? Because, you know, if I have a guy that's, you know, he's not ready to play at University of Arkansas, there's a lot of other schools in Arkansas I try to send them to. And you can tell they've definitely made an upgrade. So the type of player they're taking right now is a whole lot better than it was a few years ago.
Yeah, I mean, like Cross Jumper, he went to Tennessee. That's where he started his career. Patrick Ingscoff, whose dad used to play for the Razorback basketball team, he started at OU. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty impressive. Today's baseball podcast brought to you by H&R Tire and Auto. They're a third-generation family-owned business serving Northwest Arkansas since 1976. Just like great baseball programs, H&R is built on consistency, trust, and doing things the right way with no shortcuts and no gimmicks. You know, this is two teams now in Arkansas that have really elevated their profile in the last, you know, handful of years, UALR or Little Rock under Chris Curry. And it was kind of interesting. Mike Silva, he's like, that's not where he got his coaching career started, but I think that might have been his first Division I job was at Little Rock. He had been at some junior colleges and went into scouting. Then he was Chris Curry's pitching coach for 2 years. Then he went from there to Louisiana Tech to work for Lane Burroughs. So these are two guys, Curry and Burroughs, who are extensions to the Dave Van Horn coaching tree because they're former Van Horn assistants. And so Silva's, you know, part of that tree.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. You know, the only thing I don't like about them is their BP tops. Did you see those?
I did,
they had
yes.
the number on the front. And I'm like, that dude's got his shirt on backwards. And then I get to looking at him, and that's just
– They got it on the back, too.
Yeah, they got it on the back, too. Yeah, it's a bad look. But to your point, to be serious, I like the way he goes about his business. I like their BP, just the way they went about, you know, pre-game, batting practice. Everything was more – it was just professionally run. You could tell the guy, he's got an idea. He knows what he's doing. The players – just have a different approach. They did have a round where it was just bombs. Everyone that got in the cage, they were trying to hit bombs, which is good. That's a good way to finish up BP. I think they had fun with it. But, yeah, they're going to be good. I think they're going to win a lot of games. And would it be crazy to see them back here in a regional?
Did yesterday's game not feel like a regional game to you? It's 1-0. They're in the eighth inning. And, I mean, it's cat and mouse with the coaching staffs. It's, you know, Alexander Peck, that poor guy, he was just a pawn in a larger picture. They bring him in as a pinch hitter. So A-State counters with their right-hander. Yeah. So Arkansas goes to their left-handed pinch hitter. Then there's a wild pitch or a pass ball or something, and so they walk the left-hander. And so A-State ends up winning the, you know, the eighth inning war, so to speak. But, man, it's 1-0.
Yeah.
And both of these teams, like for Arkansas State, you got a chance here to sweep Arkansas on their home field. And if you're Arkansas, you got to win this game. They pitched that game totally different than what you would see teams normally do on a Wednesday afternoon. I'm not going to say I was surprised to see Steele Eves and Parker Coyle come in and pitch the last – however many innings they pitched, over five innings between the two of them. But, like, I thought that, you know, going into this, you think about it kind of in terms of a developmental deal, a midweek series. You're going to try to get some guys some innings. And they got Luke Cornelison on the mound at the end of Tuesday. But yesterday it was clear they were playing to win that game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wasn't about development. It was about we got to get out of this thing with a 1-1 series split. Well, you got this other team over here trying to get a sweep on the road at Baum. That was a fun atmosphere and a fun environment that they played in on Wednesday. So to your point, like, but if they come back here for a regional, I feel like maybe we've already seen a preview of what that might look like.
Yeah, and you know, how about how good were our pitchers yesterday? Did Kramer, Eves, Coyle? I mean, they were really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked Parker in the post game. I sent you the interview. If he felt like, you know, and it sounds kind of corny, but did you feel like, you know, giving up 12 runs the night before, like you felt like you had to kind of go out and avenge the pitching staff? And he's like, yeah, he said, you know, you feel like you got to go out and making a statement, you know, after giving up 12 the night before. And I thought they went out phenomenal job. I thought there was a little bit of pressure, actually quite a bit of pressure on James to Kramer, and he didn't let it faze him. He went out and he was dealing. He was really good. Wish he wouldn't have been sick, so we might have seen him for a couple more innings. But but I was really impressed with his stuff, and he shut that offense down.
You know, and I thought Peyton Lee may end up still being their Tuesday starter the rest of the season. I don't know. He didn't pitch great on Tuesday when he got the opportunity. De Kramer, the way that he pitched yesterday, you know, I mean, he's got starting experience at Oregon State. In fact, I think he started their regional game last year at Oregon State, maybe a super regional game too. Now that I think about it. Like, maybe that's your Tuesday starter. And maybe, you know, I mean, depending on what happens on the weekend, maybe he's a guy that you look at on the weekend somewhere down the road.
I think he's a weekend guy. That's weekend stuff. Mm-hmm. What he did yesterday, that looked like weekend stuff to me.
Yeah.
I think Peyton Lee's going to be fine. You know, the thing that I noticed about Peyton on Tuesday was his go-to pitch has always been his slider.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen him pitch a couple times, and he can dot that slider down and away to the right-handed batters. He was leaving a lot of sliders up in the zone. They were getting hit hard. He was getting two strikes on him.
Yeah.
He'd hang a slider, and that's usually not him. And he didn't really didn't look like he had a feel for his changeup either. So, you know, he left some pitches over the middle of the plate, and that's what happens. And then, you know, kind of some other things. We can talk about it later on. But, yeah, I think Peyton's still a guy that can get outs. And, I mean, he's got the stuff. Just a bad day, and it happens.
I was thinking, as I was kind of going through what we would talk about from this midweek, I thought about this quote that I got from Tim Corbin in some sort of interview with him somewhere. I don't remember if it was because I've seen him at the tournament, and I've seen him different places. But I remember somebody asked him about, you know, his team not playing well. And he just kind of looked at him straight in the eye and said, well, you realize we're playing somebody else too. And in the gist of his answer was, like, they're trying to win the game as well. And so sometimes it's not that we're not playing well. And I think there were – and I don't mean to excuse some things that Arkansas did this midweek, and we'll get into these. But, like, you're just playing a team that was playing at a really high level and executing at a really high level. And, again, that was kind of the big takeaway for me, or a big takeaway for me for this midweek was just the fact that Arkansas State, they came in here – they thought they could win. They did win, and they came oh so close to getting out of here with a 2-0 record. I couldn't be more impressed with how hard they played and just, again, how much that program has elevated itself. And I think that's a good thing for, well, I mean, for a couple of things. Number one, for like the kids in Arkansas, and I'm going to talk about the Razorbacks, mm-hmm. like the kids you were talking about. You know, yeah. they may not be good enough to play at the SEC level, but here you got a program that's playing at a high level in Jonesboro. You got a program that's playing at a high level now in Little Rock. And so there's more opportunities to play quality baseball, I feel like, when that's happening. But then I think for the Razorbacks, like, I think they got better this midweek, Bubba. Like, by being challenged like they did against Arkansas State. Like, I think they got a lot better being in a 1-0 game yesterday when, like, half the team is sick. And they just got to find a way to really gut it out and come out with one more run than the other team, and that's what they did. Like if you get that kind of competition in the midweek from Arkansas State and Little Rock, they weren't getting that 2 or 3 years ago from yeah. these in-state teams that they schedule for convenience. That's good for them moving down the road because it's going to help them get better for their weekend series.
I said that on the air before the game on Tuesday. I told Phil, I said, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday games are different now. I started doing the radio in 2018, and, you know, we'd go out there and just spank people. Mm-hmm. It felt like it wasn't really competitive baseball. But now with the shortened draft, you know, you've got your transfer guys, you've got your grad guys. There's so many good players, good players everywhere. I mean, there's good players at all your mid-major schools. I mean, you look around, and there's no better time to be a college baseball fan because everywhere you look, there's talent. And we saw it this weekend. But I looked at the roster, and I told Phil, I said, hey, you know, I actually – one of my keys to the game is don't overlook these guys mm-hmm. because they're going to be good. Mm-hmm. And when they come into Baum Walker, they come in there and they want to win. They play at a different level. Teams yeah. play at a different level when they come in to Baum Walker.
I agree with that. I don't really think they got overlooked Tuesday. I just think they were the better team. Right. Arkansas State was.
Yeah.
I mean, because it wasn't like one of those games where you hit two or three batters and you walk five. It was just hit after hit after hit after hit for those guys. And like you said with Peyton Lee, it was a lot of hits and pitchers counts mm-hmm. where, you know, it's a good at bat by the hitter.
You know, it stood out to me was their ability to foul off 2-strike pitches. I thought they did a phenomenal job talking about Arkansas State. Fouling off two-strike pitches. Mm. Like, even when Peyton made a good pitch, maybe just off the plate or right on the edge, they would just foul it off. And there's a knack to that. And, you know, they're standing right on top of the plate. They're daring him to come in. It was impressive. And you foul off that pitcher's pitch, you're going to get a pitch to hit eventually. Mm-hmm. You know, and when they got one, they didn't miss it. And the wind was blowing out, but I looked at the exit velos on everything that went over the
thought there
fence.
Might have been one wind-aided home run.
Maybe, just slightly. It would have still been a double.
Yeah.
But they hit the ball hard. Yeah, I mean, they really did. And I just thought they did a good job battling at the plate. And that's the key. Boy, if you can stay alive at the plate mm-hmm. and just foul off that pitcher's pitch – and live to get another pitch, that pitcher's going to make a mistake eventually.
And the wind was blowing out for Arkansas, too. They yes, weren't able it was. To, you know, so I mean, that should tell you something. Hey, I want to tell you that Southern Loft believes your home should reflect your unique personality. That's why they offer a wide variety of stylish furniture pieces that are perfect for any taste, whether you're looking for a new sofa for the living room, a sleek dining room table for your kitchen. They've got just what you need. When you're looking for that piece of furniture that reflects you, visit Southern Loft at 3155 North College Avenue in Fayetteville or call 479-856-6100. All right, let's talk about the offense because Dave Van Horn. He used the word concern after the press conference or during the press conference after the game yesterday. He said it's a concern for him right now, what's happening offensively. What are you seeing? Like why? Because I came out of the Xavier series thinking, okay, things are picking up. And then you have the Arkansas State series, and it didn't look very good for a couple of days at the plate. What are you seeing there? And how much of that, too, is attributable, if at all, to the fact that the lineup is not complete right now in terms of Damian Ruiz is out with a calf injury and Camden Kozel. He played on Tuesday. I think he played sick.
Yeah.
And then certainly he wasn't well enough to go yesterday. Is that attributable to what you saw in the midweek?
I mean, it could be a little bit mad, but we've got enough depth on the roster. There should be enough guys to step up and go out there and get it done. I know we've got guys that can play that are sitting on the bench. I think the thing that frustrates me the most, And I talked a little bit about it on the air with Phil, is that we didn't make an adjustment. Mm. You look at every arm they threw basically was a sinker slider guy, and we just didn't make the adjustment. At one point, out of 15 batters, we hit 14 balls. We either struck out or hit ground balls. 15 batters in a row, nothing got out of the infield.
And this was on Tuesday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just not making an adjustment. And as a hitter, you know, hitting's hard. But you've got to be able to make that adjustment. And, you know, like Cahill, they're pounding him in. And, you know, on Tuesday, you know, he hit two first pitch balls right at the first baseline. One he hit hard. I think it was 105, but it was just a chopper in the ground. Mm-hmm. Next it was like a little soft liner. But they're pounding you in. And, you know, my approach to hitting a two-seam fastball, it's not hard to hit. You cut the plate in half. He's trying to run that two-seam fastball in on you. You can do two things. You got the width of a baseball, all right? You can scoot off the plate the width of a baseball. He thinks he's throwing his pitch. He's throwing your pitch. And you pull that ball. When you're trying to get inside the ball, you're going to get jammed because that ball's chasing you. So you're getting all caught up in here. You know, if I was standing up, I'd show you exactly what I'm talking about. But when you get caught up in here, you're going to hit a ground ball. Mm-hmm. And that's what that pitcher's trying to get you to do. And I don't think we made an adjustment. I think we swung at his pitch down and in. Face a two-seam guy, you got to hunt that ball up, hunt it above the belt. And when it runs in, hit it in the hog pen if you're a right-handed batter. If you're a lefty, stay on the ball, drive it to left center. Lefties should rake righties that are two-seam guys, fastball slider guys. And then on the flip side of that, if you're looking for that, you got to take the slider away and not swing at it. Mm. And I just felt like we were kind of caught in between. We were a little bit late on the two-seam fastball, which was forcing us to hit ground balls. And then when we get a slider, we'd pull off of it a little bit, hit it off the end. Mm-hmm. Just kind of a bad place to be as a hitter. And I just feel like we didn't make the adjustment. And I'm not knocking the hitters. Well, I guess I am criticizing the hitters. I'm not criticizing Nate or Bobby. I know our approach. I know what they're trying to get our hitters to do. They just have to go out and execute. And I just didn't feel like we did it. And like I said, almost every pitcher kind of morphed into the same dude, mm-hmm. you know, sinker slider guy. Mm-hmm. You know, when I'd look at the pitcher's chart, it was fastball slider. And so I think we have to do a better job. Now, the guy Tuesday was someone like 85, 86 from sidearm delivery. Mm-hmm. He was tough. And they don't see that. I mean, think about it. No one in our lineup has seen that all fall or spring because none of our pitchers throw that way. Mm-hmm. You know, mid-80s fastball with a lot of sink on it, part of its gravity, part of its sink, and then a little slider that he was flipping up there. It was kind of a – don't even really want to call it a sweeper. It was just kind of a little – just a little slider slurve thing. We don't see that, and we probably don't work on it a whole lot. So the good news is when we get to the SEC, we don't have to worry about that. Now, if we see him in a regional – we'll have to figure it out. Mm-hmm. But you know what I mean? When we get an SEC ball, there's not that many two-seam guys. Not like a sink. Look at our staff. We have Steele Eaves, sinker-slider guy. Mm-hmm. From the left-handed side, we got Colin Fisher, mm-hmm. nasty sinker. And he's got a bunch of other stuff to go with it. But you don't really see a whole lot of that when you get in the SEC. It's more your carry guys. And if you look at the MLB, now you're seeing a lot more guys still using carry at the top of the zone. But now they're also pitching down at the bottom of the zone because guys have learned to catch up to this pitch. So I think it's just the ability to make an adjustment. That was a really long answer, so I apologize.
This might be an overly simplistic question. Do sinker guys, because you mentioned Fisher and Eaves, those are two of the best that Arkansas has right now. Mm-hmm. Do they have more success early in the year? Is it harder to hit that pitch early in the season for any reason?
Yeah, I think pitchers are still ahead of hitters. And but look at those guys. Look at Colin Fisher successful because he locates the ball. Mm-hmm. The Arkansas State guys, they did a good job of locating, but we swung at their pitch. If you let him – give him time, he'll make a mistake, and we didn't do that, in my opinion. But, you know, you're hitting your spots down there. It's a tough – it's a two-seamer down in the zone is designed to get an out. If you swing at it, it's hard to not roll over it. Mm-hmm. That's why you have to let him make a mistake up. Very few guys are going to spot three in a row down there. They are going to make a mistake on you, and when they do, you got to be ready for it.
Did you think they were pressing during yes. Tuesday's game? Because they got behind by yeah. so much so early that it felt like – and I think Dave Van Horn even said this on the pregame show yesterday. He said it was like we had guys trying to hit a three-run home run with nobody on base.
Yep, absolutely. And it's these guys, they're competitors, so they're going out there. They don't like to score. They don't like getting beat at home like that. And I think they're trying to do too much. I really do. And I don't even like that phrase, trying to do too much. But I think they were. I think they're over swinging. Everyone's trying to hit that home run. I think the field of ball, the wind's blowing out a little bit. Everyone's trying to be the guy that hits that ball over the fence to kind of change the momentum. And you could kind of see it.
Solo home run can't beat you. Or it typically doesn't beat you, right?
It's not going to beat you.
No. You got to have a lot of walks and string stuff together.
And I saw guys that had they just gone up there and stayed in the zone, they would have walked.
Mm-hmm.
Never know. You get to draw a couple of walks, then you hit a three-run homer, things are different. And honestly, well, we'll talk about the mistakes here in a little bit, but there were some mistakes we made on the bases that could have been a big influence on that game because it could have totally changed things early.
More so than – I mean, I'm sure you're referencing Carson Willis. Was there others that you saw?
Well, Carson, yeah, but, you know, if you look at that, you know, I didn't see a replay, but Reese Robinette didn't steal. It's 3-2, full count. Your runner base is loaded. If you're a runner at second, you've got a break on the pitch. You're stealing. Mm-hmm. And he didn't. He shuffled. That's why he – usually he would have scored on that. Mm-hmm. If he's got his lead at second and he breaks and steals, the ball hit to left, he scores on that. But he wasn't even close.
Is this the play yesterday where he collided with the shortstop?
No,
or is this a different one?
This was the when Carson got thrown out at third.
Are you, okay, okay.
Yeah, saying. Same play. Now, Carson should not go get thrown out at third there. Yeah. What was the score at the time? 6-1, 6-2? You don't make the third out at third with Nolan Souza coming up. Souza's swinging it really well. But we would have had the run scored had Reese just – it's just a mental thing. Mm. And it's early and, you know – I mean, maybe A-State just hit for a while. Maybe mentally weren't. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's something.
What you're saying is Robinette would have still scored, even though Willis got thrown out. Had he been, moving.
So it would have been 6-3.
I got you. Yeah.
But Carson can't get thrown out there. No. You can't make that. I'm one of my golden rules, and it's baseball golden rule. Don't make the first or third out at third, especially the third out at third when you got one of your best hitters coming up.
And especially when the ball hit to the left field.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so there were some things that went wrong there.
I would think you could live with it. You could live with it if that right fielder picks up that ball and makes a perfect throw to third. The left fielder didn't have to do that. Yeah. It almost felt like watching kind of a slow motion wreck, right? Like an accident where it's like, oh boy. Because you could see it coming. No different than in the 7th, 8th inning of that game when Zach Stewart misplayed the ball in left field. You could just see he was overrunning it.
Yeah.
You know, pretty quick. And both of those plays were huge in that game too, Bubba. I mean, you think about Willis, that's at least one run that comes off the board.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe more because, like you said, they got the two-hole hitter, and then behind him there's Helfrich and there's Kozel, and who knows what happens. And then with Stewart – he overruns that ball. Well, that's a run scored, and then the next guy hits a two-run home run. Who knows how the game may go different if those two moments go different?
Yeah, I'm a big believer in all those things add up. Who knows? Nolan might come up and hit a three-run homer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just you don't know. But, you know, on the ball to left, you could tell – I don't know how many balls he's taken in left field, Zach Stewart.
He's predominantly a right – or it's. Yeah. I guess historically would be the right word. That's been his position, has been right field.
I think left field's the hardest field to play. I'll tell you, my whole career I played center and right. Even here at Arkansas, I played first and right.
Mm-hmm.
So I was on that side of the field. Right. Get into pro ball, I play center and right, even a little bit of first base, but everything is on that side of the field. I get called up to the big leagues. My first day in the big leagues in left field. It is a different look there. It's a totally different look off the bat, especially now in BP. I would occasionally shag in left field just because, but not very often. I didn't have much game experience out there, and it's a different look. And what Zach's got to do, it's kind of like we talked about Cahillo misjudging a ball in right field in the spring scrimmage. You have to know the wind's blowing right to left, and you got a left-handed batter. And you read that swing when he reaches out like that, and because he reached out, it was a fastball down and away. That ball's going to slice like crazy.
Mm.
So you got to play it. I think if he'd have stood still, he'd have probably caught it. But I think that's a mental mistake. It's a guy that hadn't played a lot of left field. Now, with that being said, you know, the time before he was in left field, made a couple really good plays. But that's a tough win.
Is that like writing with your wrong hand?
Sort of,
like,
yeah.
If you're used to right field, trying to go to left field.
So it's such a different look. Like, I say all the time, like, I try to get my guys to play, you know, right field, third base, you know, flip the side of the field because the read off the bat. Like, if you can play third base, you can scoot out and play left field, I think, because the read off the bat, it's the same on that side of the field. Or shortstop, you can do the same thing. But when you're just predominantly played one side of the field, it's so different when you turn around. And people probably think I'm crazy for saying that, but it is. It is what it is. It's a totally different look off the bat. And boy, you got to take some fly balls out there and get used to it, especially in bomb walker, because I think left field's the toughest. That's the toughest field to play in bomb is left field.
Because of the way the wind blows.
Yeah, the way the wind blows. I mean, it does crazy things. You got the sun you're dealing with in the afternoons. It's a tough place to play.
And you think about Willis and Stewart, like neither of them are playing those positions in that game. If it's not for the flu and the strep that's running through the team right now, you probably got Christian Turner in left field if he's healthy, but he wasn't available on Tuesday. He was back yesterday. You know, in your DH – I mean, that might be Zach Stewart in that situation instead of Carson Willis. And, you know, who knows if the at-bat goes the same. But it's just kind of interesting that, like, those were two players. And it kind of magnified, or I thought at least highlighted, what's going on with this team right now in terms of just, like, they're down a lot of bodies.
Yeah, and I felt bad for Carson Willis. He's played high-level baseball for years. He knows
the first time he's ever played in a game. At Arkansas.
Yeah, he knows not to do that. But he's just trying to – that's a young player – trying to do too much. Back to your original point. So feel bad for him because he knows. I bet you as soon as he rounded second heading for third, he knew, oh, wow, what am I doing?
Yeah. We've actually, our photographer who was out there that day, Hank Layton, got a great picture of like him sliding toward third, and you can see the ball going past him. And there's kind of a look on his face like, oh, no. You know,
that's a long walk back to the dugout, especially when you have to walk by DBH.
When it's the last out. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And I think he got a little bit of an earful when he came back in the dugout. Have you ever seen anything like this in terms of like an illness running through a team? Dave Van Horn said that he said in all of his years here, he's never experienced anything like this. And this isn't like a 24-hour bug either. This is the flu, and this is strep throat that they're dealing with. I mean, these are like 2 5-star illnesses, like first ballot Hall of Fame and the being sick Hall of Fame. That's what you're dealing with here. You know, a couple of things that, you know, not only like you get it and it makes you feel really bad for several days, but then it takes you a little while to get over it.
Yeah, you think about it. Like back in the day, we didn't have this fancy clubhouse, the Hunt Center, to hang out in. I wonder if it would have spread that much because we dressed – up at the Borough Center, and then we would come down to the field. So we didn't have a clubhouse or anything. These guys hang out together all the time. So if one guy gets it, they're going to get it.
And they all live with each other too.
After
the cameras are turned off yesterday, because, you know, Parker Coyle, he ends the press conference by saying, you know, we just need to wash our hands and stay away from each other. And the camera goes off, and he stood up, and I said, that's kind of easier said than done when you all live with each other, right? And it's like, yeah. And you know, Steele Eve said, my two roommates have strep throat right now. And it just kind of hammered home the fact that, you know, it's there really is no getting away from it, I feel like, if you're on the team. It's you got to hope you don't get it or hope you get over it fast if you do and it doesn't affect you too much.
But you know what? It's better to have it happen in February.
Yeah.
What if it happened in June?
You like know. North Carolina State
of the World Series? Yeah, absolutely. Let's get it out of the way right now. Hope it didn't have anything to do with the armadillo.
Armadillo strep. Yeah. Armadillo flu.
There's bird flu and there's no armadillo flu. I think we're safe there.
Nolan Souza got in the field during this Arkansas State Series. Played third for a game, played second for a game. I think he had an error at both. Didn't he have a throwing error at third
and then a
fielding error at second? What did you see from him?
I thought he looked good. Thought he came in, fielded the ball really good. Thought he made a couple good plays. The throwing error, I think you can attribute that to the arm still, I think. Because he kind of dove to his left, got up. He actually had a little more time than he thought, but he threw from underneath. And, you know, just, I don't know if he babied the throw a little bit, but I think that's just him still getting his confidence and his shoulder back. Now, the one at second yesterday, I didn't like the angle he took to the ball. And I love Nolan Souza. I don't think he could have gotten around that ball, created a better angle, which had made an easier play. But, you know, he's charging it, come up on him, you know, it happens. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I thought he looked good. I mean, he's athletic. He can play anywhere. So, I don't see anything into those two errors. I don't read anything into them.
Yeah, it's good to see him in the field. Just to you know, just kind of it's. I was talking to him about something. It's been several weeks ago, and it was like it may have just been playing his first game, and it was like, and he said something like, you know, like everything right now is kind of an achievement or a milestone or a stepping stone or something in the rehab back from shoulder surgery. You know, it's like every time you get to, okay, this is my first time since, that's a big deal. I think when you're coming off something like that.
And you know, you can look at like a Dietz or a Cooper Dossett.
Yeah.
You know, coming back from injury, they haven't seen the field in a long time. They're out there and they're so hyped up. You know, it's the same with Nolan. He's out there, he's trying to learn how to throw again. Now, I've never, you know, torn a labrum, but you know, I had a high school kid once and he had a really hard time coming back just from the throwing part of it. Because he was afraid to cut it loose again. He hurt it in football, actually. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think once that arm gets back, it'll be interesting to see what Dave ends up doing, you know. And if, you know, I think if people aren't hitting on the left side of the infield, I think you're going to see Nolan somewhere over there.
Reminder, our baseball podcast sponsored by H&R Tire and Auto, local shop, been family-owned for three generations. They built their reputation on taking care of customers the right way. And that kind of longevity doesn't happen by accident. Am I crazy? Did Mike Anew seem like he took a little bit of a step forward in the midweek? I think he had a couple of multi-hit games, had a couple of RBI on Tuesday. I thought he was going to be, you know, with Helfrich kind of the centerpiece of this lineup. And, you know, I mean, I think where you've seen him hit, you know, whether it be first or cleanup or wherever it's been, is an indication of what they think that bat can do. What have you seen from him? Because he's one, they need to get everybody going, but he's one I think especially, like they got to get that bat going to be able to reach their potential offensively.
I think so. I think he's a big piece of the lineup. I liked the at-bat on Tuesday. Had a fastball running in. It was a two-seam fastball up, and he pulled his hands in, hit a bomb to left field. You know what I like? I like the hustle double. I still think about the hustle double he got where he popped up in front of home plate.
Against Xavier.
Against Xavier and got a double. That's the second shortest double in Razorback history.
Yesterday, hits ball to third, beats the throw. A pretty good throw from third base.
Yeah, and I think I said on the broadcast, there's only a couple of guys that beat that out. I mean, he was flying down the line. So that speed is so valuable. It looked like to me he's slowed things down a little bit. He's a fast twitch guy, so he's got a lot of movement going on. Those guys tend to be streaky hitters. You know, they're either really good or really not good. So hopefully we'll get him on a roll.
When he's playing that hard, you know, like the hustle double, like you talked about, even in the midst of not hitting well, I figure that's a really good sign.
Absolutely. I want a guy like that out there. If you're playing hard for me like that, I'm going to leave you out there. Mm-hmm. You look at Carson Brumball. You know, he hit a ball okay to center yesterday. Had a couple of decent at bats. Still didn't swing in like we all know he can. But he's playing great defense. I love the play where he came in and fielded it and threw from down here yesterday. Threw a rocket across the field. Love to have a radar on that. But. You know, if you're playing good defense at short, the offense can suffer a little bit. You know, you don't really lean on him to drive in a bunch of runs. But if you're a corner guy, if you're playing third base, you're going to have to drive in runs. That's a position where we really need some production out of.
Somebody asked me this morning about Ryder Helfrich, about how he's hitting the ball. You know, it's 294, I think, is his batting average right now. But I think about a few things. You know, he may have had multiple hits, I'm not sure, but a hit that he had on Tuesday was 112 miles an hour up the middle. And like on the double play yesterday, that's a that's a rocket line drive that's hit just right at the middle infielder, and mm-hmm. New got caught and couldn't get back to first base. I think Helfrich on Tuesday might have hit one to the wall in left center that a guy, and maybe this was on Sunday, but a guy catches it right up against the left field wall. Seems like he's making really good contact. Like these are not bad at-bats that he's having, and that's always a sign that things are about to start happening for a hitter, right?
Yeah. What'd you say his average was?
294.
Yeah, see, that doesn't mean anything to me because he has had so many loud outs.
Yeah. Probably more than anybody else on the team.
Oh, he has. He's smoked a couple balls at shortstop. He's hit more balls hard than anyone on the team. I don't have a list of their average velos, but I bet you he's leading in average velo because he squared up a ton of balls and gotten caught. Just had some tough luck. So I like where he's at. I think he's putting together good at bats. I'm excited about Helfrich. I think he's going to have a huge year for us.
So you mentioned Aloy and not making the adjustments that he needed to, I think, a couple of times on Tuesday. You look at him, though. I mean, he's batting .407. His OPS is over 1,200. Really good OPS that he's got. But the thing that stands out to me, Bubba, is that he's not striking out this year like he did last year. And maybe he hasn't, and it's very possible he just hasn't faced the type of pitching. You know, maybe there's more strikeouts coming, and I'm sure there are down the road. But I think he's had 27 at-bats and 4 strikeouts. I mean, that was an issue for him early last season, too. And so it seems like maybe he's gotten better discipline at the plate.
Oh, without a doubt. You know, you look at the game-winning hit the other day, slider away. He stayed on it. It was an outside pitch, but he pulled it to left field. Mm-hmm. He's doing a better job with 2 strikes. The base hit he had up yesterday to score the only run was that was a 2-seam fastball. Once again, guy threw it up in his zone. I can't remember the count. I know he had 2 strikes. Was it 1-2?
He fouled off. It went ball, foul, foul.
Yeah, I knew he had a couple strikes on him. And you could tell he made a conscious effort just to pull his hands aside and just shot it back up the middle. Didn't hit it super hard, but who cares? With 2 strikes, put the ball in play. And so to your point, I think he's got, 2 strikeouts on the year?
4.
4?
4 and 27 at-bats.
Oh, that's right. I didn't count.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, he's cutting way down now. We're not seeing SEC pitching yet, but I do like the fact that he's – now, early in the count, he's going to cut it loose. And I think that's what was frustrating with the 2 ground balls to first base. I want to say – I know one was on a first pitch. I want to say both of them were on first pitch fastballs. And my rule is to don't get beat 0-0. Mm. I mean, 0-0, if you're going to swing, get the freaking barrel on the bat, on the ball. You know, now you might line out, but get the barrel there. If you can't get the barrel to that ball, don't swing 0-0. And I think it just kind of flips the script. It makes you the hunter when you're at the plate. You're hunting your pitch. And if a guy paints on you, take it. It's 0-1. Who cares? He's still got to get you out.
Van Horn said something about he liked how Nolan Souza was swinging the bat on Tuesday. Now, he only went 1-for-4 Tuesday, and he didn't have a hit yesterday. He did draw a couple of walks yesterday. Had a couple of multi-hit games against Xavier. You know, one thing that I've noticed with him, seems like he's swinging early in counts. And, and he even told me, he said, that's something that I've worked on. Like yesterday, I think he hammered one, like a first pitch fastball. And I think it, you know, just fielder was in a good position and ended up making an out, like a line drive out or something. But what are you seeing from him?
Good at bat, staying on the ball really well. The double play he hit into, I want to say he hit that ball 105, hit it really hard, just in the wrong spot. More aggressive early in the count. Like you see him when he starts to take pitches early in the count, that's when he's thinking. It looks like he's just thinking too much, and he gets behind in the count early. And I see him right now, you know, when he gets a pitch early in the count, he's cutting it loose. And so he just looks more confident. And him and I talked after the – you know, during the Xavier series, he said he made a little bit of adjustment that really helped his timing. And you can see it right now. He looks way more comfortable.
They sat Brumbaugh Tuesday. You know, Dave does this. He said, I'll sit him on the side. I want him to see the game from just a different angle for a game or two. Pompey, not hitting the ball well. I mean, it seems like it was, I guess, this isn't really a question. This is just me saying it wouldn't surprise me if maybe that's in his future, especially since we saw Souza play third the other day. What are you seeing with Pompey? Because it seems like he's kind of the one I was thinking about whenever you were talking earlier about just not being able to lay off those sliders that are down and away. That seems like that's the pitch that's just eating him alive right now.
Yeah, I think he's just expanding the zone. And once again, it's a guy that's just, you know, you get here and you're on a new team. And, you know, Phil asked me about pressure. I think the pressure is more in the fall when you first come in. Everyone's trying to learn who you are. Oh, he's a transfer from Texas Tech. You know, I think that's where you kind of feel your way through it. Mm-hmm. And then when the season starts, I don't think there's that kind of pressure. But I think you look at the scoreboard and you're like, oh, I'm hitting, you know, under 200. I got to have a hit here. And it goes back to that whole thing of trying to hunt hits. And I think he's just expanding the zone. I mean, he's swinging at sliders that are off the plate, you know, early in the count. When he does get a fastball, he's late on it, so he's kind of caught in between. And that, once again, as a hitter, that's a bad place to be. And he really looks frustrated at the plate. Now, he did hit a ball 110 off the right field fence on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, yes. Because that's what he's capable of. He's got bat speed. But it just looks like to now he's a little caught in between, and so the bat speed's not there. It's almost like he's waving at pitches instead of staying behind the ball and driving it.
You talked the other day about when you're slumping and you look up on the scoreboard and you see your batting average and you don't want to see it. I don't know if you noticed this. Like, they're having trouble with the batting averages on the scoreboard this week at Baum for these two series. Like, at first, Arkansas State – I actually got kind of panicked at first because on Tuesday they had all these batting averages for A-State up there. And I'm like, well, that does not match with what I wrote about. Did I look at the wrong season of batting stats or something? So they're having trouble. Then yesterday when the game started, I don't know if you noticed, with the top of the first, when A-State came to bat, everybody's average was zero.
I saw that, yeah. So.
I don't know if that was like mind games trying to
– I don't know.
No, I know it wasn't. But yeah. they're having a lot of computer problems. Upstairs this week. I want to go back to talk about the one hitter. I'm surprised we haven't talked more about this. It's 2-1 hitters in three games. I looked this up yesterday. That's never happened during the Van Horn era, that there have been 2-1 hitters in three games, which probably isn't that surprising. I mean, it's not like one hitters don't really grow on trees, right?
Right.
But this is the third time in his career that they've had multiple one hitters in the same season. But 2 and 3 games, that's pretty incredible, especially when, what was it, like a 14-hitter in between? I mean, to be able to bounce back from what happened on Tuesday the way they did, it seemed like Parker Coyle told you, it really motivated them and made them want to come out and, kind of atone for what had happened.
Well, Corey Stewart, is that the guy that you always talk about that puts
sometimes,
stats in?
Stu Hogg,
okay. He said under DVH, 8 different teams have thrown a one hitter in which they also gave up 3 or fewer free passes. Prior to this season, all but one of those teams made it to Omaha. So there you go.
Hmm.
So,
well, you look at
that just popped up while I was waiting on you to get here. But yeah, I think the one hitter and look at the one hits. Both of them could have easily been outs.
Could have been no hitters.
You know, the ball that Colin Fisher, he kind of turned around and hit off his butt. I don't know. He should have just let it go and let the infield or maybe catch it. And then yesterday, the ball that Brumbaugh dove for, glanced off his glove. He was playing more to pull in the hole. Those could have been easily no hitters.
Yeah.
But it's impressive. And what I like is after Tuesday's game, the way the staff responded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's what teams have to do. If the lineup's scuffling a little bit to score runs, pitchers need to step up and do their thing. If the pitchers are struggling, hitters got to step up and take care of the pitchers. You know, it works both ways.
They were supposed to have all three pitchers in the media room last night, and of course, DeKrimmer's not feeling well, so he didn't come in. So I asked the other two about him, and they didn't like they had a lot of really good things to say about him and about. I can't remember who it was. It might have been Coyle who said this, but it was like he could have easily said, hey, I'm not feeling well. It's a midweek game. I'm not going to go today.
Yeah.
But he equated it to the Michael Jordan flu game. You know, he said you know, he went out there and he gave it his all for as long as he could. And and Steele Eve said that really lit a fire under everybody else who came in. It kind of set the tone for them the rest of the night.
See, that's awesome. And you're right. He could have easily said, I don't feel like it, especially after the night before.
Would you pitch with the flu? Like would you play baseball with the flu?
Yeah, because I didn't like ever not playing.
So you're not like a baby when you get sick.
Yeah, I don't know. You could ask my wife. She might say differently. But when it comes to baseball, when I'm at home, I'm probably a little softer. But when it comes to baseball, you don't want to not play. But for him to still want the ball, knowing he's not feeling good, that says a lot about the guy, and it kind of pumps me up a little bit.
I'm just sitting there thinking about, like, when I'm sick at home, and it's like the remote's over there on the table. I don't really feel like this show right here, this is fine. So I can't imagine, like, getting out there and, you know, throwing 95 for 50 pitches.
Yeah, and if you're – to do that with the flu or whatever he's got, I mean, that's pretty impressive, because that's tough to do. And it's more than the physical side of it. It's the mental side of it too. But I do want to say something. Every pitcher that I've talked to has said something positive about Helfrich, about Ryder. You know, we talked about his hitting. He's doing a phenomenal job behind the plate. And we were watching, and Phil said something yesterday, you know, about him, you know, Parker shaking him off. I don't think Parker's shaking him off. I think that's that fake shake, because they trust what Helfrich puts down.
So Matt Hobbs was on Chuck and Bo's radio show this morning, and he said that the ninth inning, the success that Coyle had the ninth inning, he said that is directly attributable to middle inning or bottom of the eighth inning. They go into the dugout, and it's the two of them talking about, okay, what are you seeing? And basically, you know, Coyle had been mostly off-speed seventh, eighth inning. Mm-hmm. Well, the lineup is about to turn over, and they said, we're going to attack them with fastballs, because now we know that they're sitting waiting on that off-speed pitch. And he looked – I mean, the ninth inning was the best inning he had because he really attacked them with that fastball, and I don't think they were ready for it. And Hobbs said that's a direct – he said that's directly attributable to Helfrich seeing something on the field and the – pitcher having confidence that what their catcher seeing and suggesting was going to work. I thought that was really good insight.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I know Griffiths, the 4-0 hitter, took one cut at a curveball, and he was right on it. And after that, Helfrich went to cutters, threw that cutter in, and just carved him up. So, I mean, that's a catcher that's a veteran catcher right there. And the thing is, the pitcher trusts him. When he puts something down, they trust in what he's putting down there. And if you don't trust and believe in that pitch and have conviction in that pitch you're throwing, you're not going to throw it right.
How many games are we into this season? Nine. So in the last 12 games with Ryder Helfrich behind the plate, there's been 2-1 hitters and a no-hitter. Think about that for a minute.
Yeah.
It's probably not an accident, right?
No, it's not. I mean, because – a different catcher, I promise you, we don't have two one hitters and a no hitter. I mean, the pitchers can have good stuff, but the catcher's right there. The catcher can see what the hitter's doing. I mean, he's got a bird's eye view of what the hitter's doing. You know, is the guy opening up a little bit early, cheating inside? Is he hovering over the plate, looking off speed? Is he loading late to get off speed? I mean, there's so many things a catcher can see that, you know, maybe. You know, maybe other people don't see. And so I just think it's awesome. And I don't think catchers get enough credit for that. And I don't know how many SEC catchers actually call their own game.
I'd be interested to know that too. How many, because there's a lot of coaches in the SEC, head coaches, who are also pitching coaches, you know, like Butch Thompson and Wes Johnson. And I know there's others too. I think Schlossnagel was a pitching coach. I think that was where he cut his teeth. That they may not want to give up that control. It feels like they are a lot more involved in the pitch-to-pitch sequence than what you've seen at Arkansas. And I know Wes Johnson was here too, and I think they let the catchers call the game when he was here. And so maybe he does it that way at Georgia. I don't know. But I would be interested to know what that looks like in the SEC elsewhere.
I would too. And when I played, Matt, catchers fall into a rut. And so as a left-handed hitter, they would call similar pitches to left-handed hitters. And so you kind of have a pretty good idea. Okay, this is what this guy calls in this situation with a left-handed batter up. I don't see that with Helfrich. I don't see him. He doesn't fall into a pattern like a lot of guys are guilty of doing. And I think that's a special talent.
Real quick, let's look ahead. UT Arlington comes in here this weekend. They're the record's not impressive. It's 2-6. They're going to start a right-hander named Kalen Dygert on Friday. He's got a 1.8 ERA, a 1.6 WHIP. On Saturday, they're going to throw a right-hander named Dylan Schofield. He's got an ERA of about 6.5, a WHIP over 1.5. You look at the numbers, and it's like these are pitchers that you ought to be able to hit if you're Arkansas. But you go back to what's the health of the team. You know, is Camden Kozel going to be able to play? There was some doubt yesterday about that. You know, does Damian Ruiz come back? If he does, is there rust there? That's going to be pretty interesting. One thing I think about this series is if you're Arkansas and you got all this stuff going on, you're probably a lot happier that UT Arlington's coming in this weekend instead of Xavier.
Yeah.
Because I have a feeling if they were playing Xavier this weekend, it may not go the way that it went last weekend, at least in terms of sweeping them.
Well, and just look, going back to Tuesday, look at all the teams that lost on Tuesday. Yeah. Top 10 teams.
LSU lost to McNeese.
Five top 10 teams lost, I think.
I know four top six teams lost to unranked in-state opponents at home.
Yeah.
It was LSU lost to McNeese, UCLA lost to San Diego State, Georgia Tech lost to Georgia State, and Arkansas lost to Arkansas State.
It's a crazy game. So, you know, with them coming to town, yeah, on paper, you know, it's hard to tell. It's early in the season, but, man, you know, we know how the game is. Anything can happen. So I just hope guys are healthy. I'd be really surprised if Kozel's not back because that's just how Kozel is. If he can walk, he's going to try to play.
Yeah. Well, they said that they knew he must be really bad whenever he didn't play yesterday. Arkansas is going to go Gackle, Dietz, and Fisher again. Dave Van Horn didn't really understand my question at first yesterday. Did you hear this? I asked him, I said, what's it like having Colin Fisher on or what does he give you on Sunday? And he said, well, he gives you the same thing on Sunday that he'd give me on Friday. And I had to go back and clarify. No, like, what's it mean for you to have a pitcher like that on Sunday? Because, you know, and he said this, and I kind of had the same view, is like Sunday's the most important day of the weekend. You're either up 2-0, it's 1-1, or you're about to get swept. And you need to have a good game regardless of what that situation is. And so to have your best pitcher, at least statistically right now, Fisher, I feel like that's a pretty big deal. But he would give you the same thing on Friday.
Yeah.
He gives
you on Sunday. Do you sometimes feel like a little kid in a classroom that you just ask a question and the teacher's just totally like?
I only feel that way. I only feel that way when I haven't heard like just, you know, sometimes and I'll have my computer in my lap like I do right here. A lot of times I'm trying to finish a game story, so I might miss something that's said like in the opening statement or something. Uh-huh. And I'm not as bad about this anymore, but still it sometimes happens. And so, you know, you might ask something a little bit later. Well, like I said earlier, and then that one's like, okay, man, I need to listen better.
No, I think it's funny. I love listening to Dave's post games, and but to your point about Sunday, though, Colin gives you so much. When you get to Sunday, sometimes Sunday gets kind of crazy. Maybe you've already used a lot of arms early in the week. I feel like you know you can get some innings out of him, which is real important when it comes to Sunday, because you know how Sunday in the SEC can be sometimes. So I think. I love having him in that spot, but you're right. He could throw Friday. He could throw any day, but there's something about him being in that Sunday role. You feel really good about it, especially if you're going in 1-1, you know, I'll take our Sunday guy over their Sunday guy just pretty much any day of the week.
Again, you feel good about whatever situation you're in. 2-0, 1-1, 0-2. You feel like it's got the chance to go your way because, it's just hard to find that quality of a pitcher on a Sunday, and Arkansas's got it right now.
And he's so consistent. He's got four pitches he can throw for strikes. Those guys, you don't see a lot of peaks and valleys with those guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you kind of know what you're going to get out of Colin Fisher, which is awesome.
Yeah, that's a good feeling. One more time, our baseball podcast brought to you by H&R Tire and Auto, proudly family-owned since 1976. Trusted across Northwest Arkansas, committed to keeping you safe on the road all season long. Learn more or schedule service at hnrtireandauto.com. Big basketball win last night. Arkansas beat A&M 99-84. We're going to talk basketball on the show tomorrow with Ethan Westerman. Also look ahead to the big game this weekend against Florida. still, Arkansas in the mix for an SEC championship, although the games are starting to wind down, and the Gators could come close to sweeping. Or not sweeping, I'm in baseball mode here. They could come close to clinching the SEC championship on Saturday in Gainesville. We'll see if Arkansas can keep them from doing that. Hope to see you there or at our website, wholehogsports.com. Have a great day.